All right. We all know it begins when the foot hits the ground and there's a cascade up the body's chain of bones, tendons, ligaments, muscles, and everything else in the process. It's more than tootsies and toenails, so today we'll learn about and from an expert in foot and ankle issues for the weekend to competitive athlete. Welcome to the Youth Sports Safety Update podcast, produced by the Jacksonville Sports Medicine Program in Jacksonville, Florida. The Jacksonville Sports Medicine Program, or JSMP, is dedicated to youth sports safety through awareness, advocacy, and injury prevention. I'm your host, Jim Mackey, a certified athletic trainer with over 50 years of experience in a variety of sports healthcare settings. Joining us today on the Youth Sports Safety Update is a young but very well-trained foot and ankle specialist who recently opened a new practice in St. Johns County, just off US 1 near Palencia. So please welcome Dr. Sal Maleka.
Hello there. How are you?
All right. So, Dr. Maleka, you know I wrote a book a few years back, still number one on Amazon for its type, called Just Another Smelly Foot. As an athletic trainer and have witnessed thousands of varieties of feet in my experience, though you may have seen a few as well, but in a different light. So tell us about who you are and what spurred your interest in this field.
Absolutely. So yes, as you know, Sal Maleka, my name. Thank you, Jim, for having me on here. First and foremost, a little bit about myself. I was born and raised in Toronto, developed a deep passion for soccer. It was pretty much the religion at my home. As I was serious about the sport, obviously, you know, there's a lot of foot and ankle mobility involved in soccer. And when I was in college, I played soccer all 4 years of my college career. I was thankfully and gratefully and, you know, I guess it was an honor to be named captain in my senior year. This was in a small school in Michigan. That kind of led to a passion or at least a track that seemed very attractive for foot and ankle. And when I got positive reviews from podiatry schools and got accepted into many, especially when I knew that I was guaranteed a residency that was surgical for 3 years in that field, I ran with it and really enjoyed it. I fell more and more in love with it each year that I was in school and ended up doing the residency training at Miami during the years of 2019 to 2022. And then here I am.
All right. Well, you know, I'm full of bad jokes, so I guess you got your foot in the door in the right place, right? All right. So since it all starts from the ground up, let's discuss some proper foot care and things to be aware of inside and outside of the shoe. You don't have to hit them all, but toes, toenails, fascia, general foot care. What are some of your recommendations to keep our feet in good working order, whether we're a walker, a runner, athlete, everyday life person, because we realize how important our feet are when we're off of them?
Right. No, that's a great question, Jim. I think I would have to say comfortability is key. Listening to your body is very important. I think if your shoes are uncomfortable or if you're experiencing any kind of toenail, foot, rear foot, ankle pain, it's definitely something that you might want to get checked out, especially if it's persistent. I think that's the biggest kind of prevention that one can have. Obviously, specifically with regards to athletes, you know, athletes are constantly on their feet. They're constantly having a lot of impacts, making sure that your shoes are comfortable. But even bigger than that is just constantly exercising. One thing I think that you can really distinguish from the athletic population versus the population that's not so athletic, especially the population that could be a little bit more sedentary, is that athletes, they could be getting injured from high energy, you know, impact or low energy impact trauma. In general, athletes have a pretty good etiquette about them where they are constantly training and constantly working on their, whether it's, you know, something, for example, like ankle proprioception, or strengthening of their, you know, gluteus maximus, vastus lateralis, whatever it may be, and, you know, their leg muscles, their hip muscles, all that kind of stuff. Constantly making sure that your body is conditioned and strengthened, warmed up well before you perform any kind of explosive physical activity. And I'm not just talking maybe jogging on the spot for 3 minutes, like, you know, literally 10 minutes of getting to the point where you're breaking a sweat because you're so warmed up with multiple dynamic exercises. I think all of these combined factors can really help one to maintain a healthy athletic lifestyle, if you will. And I hope that answers the question, Jim.
Everybody, most everybody, has probably had an ankle sprain of some sort. They're very common in sports. So what's some of the preventative care to prevent these ankle sprains? And what are some of the early forms of treatment do you prefer in your practice and recommend for ankle sprains?
Absolutely. Another great question, Jim. I think there are different types of ankle sprains. You have your deltoid sprains, which are much more rare, and I actually haven't seen many at all. Usually deltoid injuries will be concomitant with an ankle fracture of some sort. You have also lateral ankle sprains that are a specific type of injury, which can also be concomitant with a fracture, sometimes in the foot, a specific foot bone, or sometimes also in the ankle. But you also have high ankle sprains, and each one is going to be treated differently. The high ankle sprains are definitely more, I guess, if you will, going to need surgery more often than your lateral ankle sprains. For lateral ankle sprains specifically, I would say if you have, obviously, you know, all of these need to be x-rayed and they need to be worked up properly. But if you have a grade one lateral ankle sprain, for example, a typical treatment, you know, modality for me would be obviously compression. So any kind of ACE bandage or Coban around the athlete's, you know, foot and ankle, but also weight bearing is tolerated and activity is tolerated. You know, when I've actually sprained my ankle multiple times before, it doesn't, you know, happen recurrently, but the best thing that I think that I did for myself before I even got into medical school was weight bear right away and don't stay off of your foot, because when you stay off of your foot and ankle, you end up losing some of that strength in the area, the bone density and the proprioception, the more and more you stay off of that foot. And I'm sure you know this from physical therapy, but proprioception is super important for athletics. If they don't have that, they can easily get injured again.
So let me interrupt you right there just a second. You know, we were brought up with ice, and ice does have a place in the care, but we've kind of moved on to an acronym kind of called peace and love, you know, that protection, the rest, the compression, the elevation, massage, mobility. I'm really messing up that acronym, but it's getting the ankle moving again, like you said, not just putting it up on a couch and leaving it there for a good while, but getting some active motion in there, because you increase the healing properties to get to the joint and allow for better healing. So a lot has changed in that. You know, some things are very acute. Some people swell up big. Some people don't swell up much at all. You mentioned the high ankle sprains, which very what it says it is. It's higher up the ankle between the fibula and the tibia. The soft tissue between there gets torn, and so there are new innovative surgeries. We'll probably see an athlete for the Ravens coming back very soon after this tightrope type surgery, they call it. And but getting that mobility back as quick as possible. So I ramble on there. But let's talk a little bit about foot imbalances, because you've got to have good balance. But if you don't have that good foot balance and good placement, it affects the knee, hip, causes low back pain. So what are your thoughts on some ways to prevent these things, or just how to address them? What do you see in your practice?
Absolutely. So what I was taught by Dr. Ettore Vulcano at Mount Sinai when I trained with him was that if there isn't any pain, there's not necessarily a need to fix anything. In fact, don't fix what's broken. Don't fix what's not broken, and don't try to fix what's not broken. So, you know, let's say somebody has per se flat feet and they have no pain. There's not necessarily a need for an orthotic. However, if somebody does have a flat foot pain, let's say they have a stage 2A or stage 2B flat foot, then there would be a need for an orthotic, because it is a flexible flat foot deformity, one, and two, it is painful. So there is a need to I guess, align the floor back to the foot where you're stabilizing the medial longitudinal arch, as well as giving a rear foot varus post so that, you know, their heel and their arch can be supported very well. And I can see that being very important for athletes, because you do need to have that tension on the posterior tibial tendon released or rid of, so that it's not going under constant tension and causing those tears that are going to happen, you know, create that injury that's going to really destroy the tendon over time, if you will. So orthotics are definitely important. But these quote unquote deformities aren't necessarily always deformities unless they have pain. They can be seen more of as like features, like having blue eyes or brown eyes, or having high arched feet, or having, you know, flat feet. I myself actually have flat feet, and I've never really had pain other than when I was like maybe 13. And at that point I wore orthotics, but I don't wear orthotics anymore and I'm completely fine. Don't feel the need to continue to do so. Did that answer the question, Jim?
Yeah, you're right on it there. Because, you know, gravity affects us all. And as we get older, our arches may deteriorate, so to speak, and get more flattened out or whatever. But we may just need more of a stability-based shoe, you know, for us, so that can prevent some problems like plantar fasciitis and just getting a more stable shoe, whether we have to add an orthotic or whether we don't. But I like your thing about if it's not painful, there's probably not really a problem there. And that, so we're going to take a little break here because in 2024, the Jacksonville Sports Medicine Program celebrates 40 years of service to the North Florida region, and JSMP has grown to a statewide and national prominence with its impact upon sports safety awareness, policy creation, and innovation. The JSMP is also managing partner of the Florida Alliance of Sports Medicine, or FASMED, which is a statewide coalition of sports medicine physicians who are engaged in promoting the highest level of high school sports safety through education, awareness, and access to medical resources to keep kids safe. So let's get back to our podcast, because we're speaking today on the Youth Sports Safety Update with Dr. Sal Maleka, a foot and ankle physician just south of Jacksonville here in St. John's County. So welcome back, Dr. Maleka.
Thank you.
All right, we've got the Gate River Run, which is a long race, and a lot of people train for it. Some people don't even train and they jump out there because they see all the other people out there and they want to be there. This is a running community. So what advice do you give in general, would you provide to those to avoid or deal with common pitfalls that may lead to injuries?
Absolutely. So definitely make sure your shoes are new. You don't want to be running miles and miles and miles on old shoes that can predispose you more to injury. Make sure you stretch properly. Make sure you warm up properly. Make sure you train for these events and prepare. Don't, like Jim said, don't just go out there and just.
Those were the ones I always saw in the medical tent at the end of the race.
Right. 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 So, yeah, definitely prepare your body. you know, we discussed a little bit about strengthening the tendons around joints, strengthening the muscle bellies of those tendons around joints. I think that's super important, making sure that your proprioception is in shape. Those can all be preventative measures for injury. And yeah, stretching and strengthening, I think it's the mainstay of staying healthy in sports.
Part of that is shin pain. A lot of people get shin splints in that, which can lead to something called a stress fracture. So what are you looking for initially, and how can you avoid, or what should you be listening to avoid it getting a lot worse?
Sure. Well, I think, again, stretching is definitely one part of it. I think continuing to work out the area is important. I never even, because to be honest, I never really even looked into shin splints, and I thought I may have had shin splints myself, but I'm thinking it was more just a tibialis anterior tendonitis. It was essentially on, if you feel the tibial crest right in the area of your shin, just lateral to that by not even a finger breadth, that was when I had a case of tibialis anterior tendonitis just above the ankle joint. What I did for that was essentially, I don't even think I took any anti-inflammatories. I literally just worked through it. I did some stretching, like plantar flexion stretching of the ankle. And that was enough for me. Along with constant like ankle rolling and just ankle range of motion, that was enough for me to get rid of my tibialis anterior tendonitis in a matter of, I think it was about 48 hours. So I don't know if that is necessarily even applicable to shin splints. I don't know if shin splints are like more on the on the medial, like posterior medial aspect of the tibia bone at the ankle joint, or maybe like 4 to 5 centimeters proximal. I forget, but that's, I think how, you know, one can get rid of at least a tibialis anterior tendonitis if that's what they're experiencing.
Pretty much where the pain's at, that front lateral shin. You know, I'll go a little old school on you. I found ice massage works very good, but it's stretching these days, rolling, soft tissue work. Sometimes compression wraps work and help just to keep that jarring, because that's what happens. Those micro, you get little micro tears in that, in sometimes between the tibia and the fibula, and or you get it in the muscle belly. And so that compression, whether it's with elastic tape or whether a compression type sleeve, that can help that. And check the shoes, check their running surface, get them off the concrete. Sometimes you have kids running on the side of the road, and there's different grades to those roads and angles. So some are going to run on the other side of the road, and it, just a variety of things. You've got to work with their coaches, work with their training, find out and ask a lot of questions in that. But yeah, shin splints, very common with early season types of things, and common complaint in there out there in the athletic world. Gotcha. So there's probably an abundance of things that we could talk about, but any lessons learned or messages that you'd like to share with our audience before we close out with a few other things?
If your pain is repetitive, go get it checked out. You know, I think a lot of people, or at least I've been noticing throughout my training and throughout practice, that a lot of people will let something go for a long time. I mean, mind you, not all these things are very easy to be caught early or to have a very high degree of clinical suspicion with. And this is something that's probably a lot less related to the athletic population, but I had a case of necrotizing fasciitis going back on New Year's Eve. It was a pretty sad case, because you have a 40-year-old relatively healthy male who has a wife and, you know, two kids and plays football and coaches football and does all these things and works out. And you see him come in with a bad case of necrotizing fasciitis that has him in septic shock. And 2 days prior, they had gone to an urgent care, got some oral antibiotics, infection wasn't going away. Then they went to an emergency department the next day, which was a Saturday, I believe. Or no, sorry, it was, I think the day before New Year's Eve was a Saturday. So yeah, it was a Saturday. They got some IV antibiotics, then got sent home with oral, discharged. And then they come back, you know, with like, the guy had ecchymoses all over the lateral aspect of his ankle, extending all the way up proximally to, you know, his fibular head. And the entire lower extremity was swollen. He was, as I said before, in septic shock. You know, it's just, it's really sad to see things like this kind of get out of hand. That got kind of out of hand very quickly. But don't let chronic conditions like, you know, let's say you do have a lateral ankle sprain, and things seem fine for, you know, a period of a couple of weeks, but then you start developing some ankle pain. Don't try to push through that ankle pain. You know, there are loose bodies that can be associated with an ankle sprain, where a piece of cartilage breaks off and it's in the joint, and then you're constantly putting that joint through range of motion and possibly causing yourself some early onset arthritis post-traumatically. I wouldn't push through that kind of stuff. So definitely, you know, get things checked out regularly. Make sure you get the help that you need. Make sure you get the treatment that you need, and make sure that it's thorough.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Malek. I pulled some key takeaways out there, that early care prevents long-term issues. Proper foot care is essential to injury prevention and the cause of chronic conditions. Always get your footwear properly fitted, selected. It's a key to prevention. And everything starts with the ground up and moves up that chain of the body. So, get yourself checked out so that you're not causing additional problems in the future. So thank you very much, Dr. Malacca. We appreciate your time, and wish you all the very best in your practice. It's not an advertisement, but he's down in St. John's County, easy to get to, behind the Circle K. And so see Dr. Malacca, great physician, great energy, great, very knowledgeable about what he does. So thank you to our audience for joining us, and we hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Youth Sports Safety Update. Our mission is dedicated to youth sports safety through awareness, advocacy, and injury prevention. Guests of the show are stakeholders of youth sports safety. Views and conclusions expressed in this program are those of the guest and not necessarily those of the employees, administration, and associated staff of JSMP, and does not imply endorsement of any product, service, or opinion discussed. All material presented in this program is provided for information only and should not be construed as professional advice. Any use of this podcast without the express written consent of the Jacksonville Sports Medicine Program or FASMED is strictly prohibited. For more information and access to important resources on the youth sports safety, visit our website at jaxsmp.com and see our show notes. We'll post Dr. Maleka's biography and some other information there, how to contact him. The Youth Sports Safety Update is a production of the Jacksonville Sports Medicine Program, and your host and producer today is Jim Mackey. Join us again soon, and thank you very much.